Hi, everybody. This is Ramble Redhead, and we are back again with Mr. Duane and talk about him and his partner Todd, as well as, and we're going to be getting into the next part of their lives, which I think is really interesting, and I want to hear all about it. And what I'd like to do before we get started is to welcome back Duane back to the program.
Hi, everybody.
And again, we are at their wonderful home, and we're talking about them. Now, as we left off in the last episode, they've been together for about 15 years. They had purchased a home, and we're working on that. And I wanted to ask Duane, what was the next chapter of life? What was the next thing that you two decided to do?
Well, we had actually, the next thing we really decided to do was to adopt, but it really probably isn't quite that simple. It was something that was an ongoing conversation for quite some time. I don't recall exactly when we started thinking about it seriously, but I think that both Todd and myself had always envisioned, I should only speak for myself, but I certainly had always envisioned myself as a parent, maybe even before I had any idea of who I was as a person. But I mean, and maybe that's just something that we're socialized to do. But, you know, I just always imagined myself as a father. And then, of course, accepting the fact that I was gay and then having a long-term gay relationship, I think that, you know, that idea sort of obviously came in conflict with what seemed possible at the time. But somehow the conversation came up and we talked about it. And it was something that we really struggled with. I think we both came to the point where we acknowledged that both of us wanted to be parents. We loved, both of us have nieces and nephews and, you know, love them a lot. And, you know, but the idea of us, you know, as a couple parenting was, you know, something that, you know, there were all kinds of things to consider. You know, what sort of environment would we would be putting, you know, children into with the different kind of family structure that would have. And so you know, it was something that we you know, really wondered whether it was a possible, and B, you know, was it our own selfish desires, you know, or was it, you know, something that was, you know, really would be a good thing for everybody? And so I think the turning point was Todd was working with a friend of his who had another friend who was a lesbian, and she and her partner had adopted two boys, and so he met them. And again, if you remember, I was saying that we kind of were not in any sort of social circle, so we really didn't know that many people. And so the fact that there was, you know, a same-sex couple that had kids was like, wow. And then all of a sudden we found out that there were other couples who had kids, and all of a sudden it began to seem like it was, you know, something that was possible. And so we started thinking about it really seriously and decided that, you know, we would go ahead and both look into it, and then we began to pursue it, and then, of course, we had to really tackle the family issues that we had just talked about, and then we went for it.
Wow. So what was the – can you talk a little bit about the process of being able to adopt in Indiana?
Well, what we decided to do was we were going to we thought the best thing was an international adoption. We looked into some domestic adoptions, and they're, you know, just adopting infants domestically in this country is really actually difficult for anybody, no matter who you are. So, you know, we thought that would be a process that was defined, that you know, we knew what the steps were, and it was a pretty clear path. So we pursued an international adoption, and we chose Guatemala. We chose Guatemala because, number one, it was one that fit our needs in terms of when the adoption itself is finalized. You don't need to spend a lot of time overseas in the country. Other countries have different requirements as far as staying in that country while parts of the process take place. That worked. And the other factor was that my mother's side of the family is Hispanic. She's from Panama. And so we thought that there would be a connection culturally, both for the kids and for us, to them. So it just seemed like it was a good fit in a lot of ways. And so that's what we decided to do.
Okay, great. And then how long did it take from when you said, okay, this is what we want to do, to when you finally were able to get Daniel? How long the process was it?
From beginning the paperwork mm-hmm. to when we got Daniel was about 10 months. But when you're putting all your paperwork together, which is called your dossier, for an international adoption, that took about a couple months. And then once that was all that paperwork was in, your agency submits it to the adoption courts in the country, and you have a child that you know you're working towards in the adoption process. That part took 8 months for Daniel. And it varies depending on where and how things are moving in that country and its court system.
And so it took 2 months of paperwork and all that.
Right.
And then the rest of the time was getting him. Okay. So how long did Todd did this as an individual, single parent?
Right.
And did you want to go into that at all as far as that process of?
Well, Todd did the initial adoption in the foreign courts. And the reason for that was because, there's no procedure for two same-sex couples to adopt as a couple. And in fact, that's probably an issue that really, you know, a lot of people are struggling with right now anyways. Right. You know, it made sense for Todd to be the one to do the adoption. The other reason was because we're fortunate that the company that he works for has an adoption benefit that also helped out and made it possible for us to. So that was, you know, that all made sense. And then once the adoptions, and of course we waited till both adoptions were done. Once that was complete, then. We did a second parent adoption where I was listed or decreed as the second parent here in Indiana. So I'm legally, in fact, we have Indiana birth certificates that say Dwayne Carlisle and Todd Pickard parents.
Wow.
That must have been a great feeling, huh?
It was. I mean, to see both your names on a birth certificate is fabulous.
Magic. Wow, that's incredible. I mean, that must have made you feel really good. So how old was Daniel when you got him?
Daniel was 8.5 months old.
Oh, wow.
Okay, cool. So what was that like the first day with him in the house?
Well, actually, the most amazing thing was the first time we saw him in the hotel in Guatemala. We both went when we went to pick him up.
How long were you there?
Only 2 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that was really quick.
Right.
Because I know with John and Troy, they talked about theirs, that they could be there like a month.
Right.
So where they were going to be going. Okay. So
right.
Please go on.
Now, again, that was one of the, you know, the factors that made it seem like that was the right thing for us to do. So actually, when you go down to pick up a child in the Guatemalan process, it's finished, and the only thing that you're finishing up is the paperwork for immigration papers. So because, you know, we were still very careful because there's a sensitivity to, you know, the whole issue of gays and adoption. So I did not go with him to actually pick up the child from the foster mother.
and through the court, you know, to see the immigration office. And so he came back to the hotel with Daniel. And I remember, I mean, I will never forget that moment because I was, you know, there at the hotel waiting, killing time, you know, for him to come back. And I had been down in the lobby kind of wandering around. And then had gone back to the elevator to go back up to the room, not knowing when he was going to get back, of course. And I hear a voice behind me saying, "Hey," and I turn around and I see, you know, these biggest brown eyes on this little tiny body. And, you know, it was the most thrilling moment. You know, I'll never forget that moment, just seeing him in Todd's arms.
And knowing he was yours.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you probably got all emotional. I know I would have if, you know, because I was talking to another gay couple who adopted, and they got a little girl, and they went, it sounds like very similar to what you did, and they went to go get the baby, and they went to this doorway, and all of a sudden this woman came in and says, "Are you ready to meet your daughter?" And it was just really, you know, a magic moment for them. So that sounds great. Obviously it happened to you too. So, So then, you know, so 2 days you're there, and then you get to have Daniel, and then you came home.
We came home.
So what was that like when you get home to the, you know, how the family, all the family, of course, knew.
All the family knew, and they were all waiting for us at the airport.
Yeah.
Family, extended family, my cousins and you know, his wife and their kids were there, and my parents and Todd's parents and friends, and, yeah, there was this huge crowd waiting for us. And of course the funniest thing was that, you know, you think as a parent, you know, that you're trying to have everything covered. I did not bring enough diapers on the plane.
Oh no.
And so we're getting off the plane and Daniel needs his diaper changed, and I go to the diaper bag and I had run out. And so you're getting off the plane and your poor child needs diaper change. But you know, that's life.
Yeah. So you're like, "No, you don't want to hold him right now. He needs a diaper."
But it was wonderful. I mean, it really was.
So you must have had a big celebration then?
Yeah, we did. I mean, you know, and everyone was kind of looking at you like, "What's this huge crowd?" And everyone's gathered around this beautiful little child. So
he's definitely an adorable little guy. And do you have any pictures of that? Did you have people take pictures when you were coming off, you know, coming in at all?
We do. I don't have any out, but yeah, we've got, yeah. I have this one picture, in fact, that's etched in my mind. Someone had gotten a little hat that was actually a Panamanian hat, but, and that just a little child-sized one, and they put it on his head, he looked so, I don't know what the word is, just bewildered by the whole thing, all these people, and he looked shell shocked actually. But yeah,
well, that's a great story. So so then you had him. Now he's six now.
Yeah,
and then 2 years later you adopted again. One year later.
Yeah, Mara will be five next week.
Yeah, that's right. Five. Okay. So is she from the same country?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Fast forward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, if you want to, you know, is there anything else you want to add about the adoption and, you know, bringing them home or anything like
well,
that?
Well, you know, that was that first few weeks at home, and then in the first few months really is, you know, it's wonderful. You know, you're just bonding with this child. But the other thing was the fact that, and I don't know if it was a premonition or what, but that we just felt like we wanted to keep moving. And so we actually began very shortly after Daniel was home. We began the process of getting the paperwork started for the second child.
Now, did Todd do that again as a single parent?
Yeah. We went through the same process exactly. Yeah. And you know, it made the process and the wait and all that a little easier, having gone through it one time before. Right. What was the difficult part? Not for us per se, but just in getting things done, was the fact that as a single, it's difficult for a single man to adopt a female child, and that was, we really wanted a girl, and so, you know, we agency that we were working with said, you know, I'm going to try to find an attorney who will work with it and really push hard to get to get this to happen. And so we had to wait a little while for a girl to be available that an attorney in that country would kind of work through the process. And we were able to get it done. So, we jumped right in, and Mari, we got a call. It was like she had been, it was the middle of September, and this was 2001. And we got a call from the agency saying, well, there's one thing good that happened on September 11th. You have a little girl who was born.
Aww.
So Mari was born on September 11th, 2001. And then we started going through the court process in the country for the adoption. And she came home in February of 2002.
Wow.
So hers was a lot shorter.
Yeah. And she was, five months?
5 months old, yeah.
Wow. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
So, well, that's amazing. I mean, how quick it was, because I've talked to some other couples, the couple I was telling you about. They lived in Las Vegas area, and it took like 3 years from beginning to end because they had all the process and the things they had to go through for their adoption. And it took a long time. And then, like with Johnny Simons, his only took like 6 months or something. It was a very short time. So, what was that like then, having two young ones in the house for you?
Just like you'd imagine. Two kids in diapers and crawling and all that. It was wonderful. I mean, and Mari was just the sweetest, most easygoing baby there was. Daniel, as you can see now, has always been very full of personality, very full of life. just a bundle of energy, and he has always been that way. And Mari is a little quieter, a little shyer, and she was always very easygoing. But at that time, both of us were working, and we were taking them to a daycare situation. It wasn't a daycare per se; it was a home. But that was hard too, knowing that we weren't with them and all the care that they need at that time. And so that was the time that we really began thinking about whether we could really rearrange our lives and our financial situation so that one of us could be home more.
Yeah.
And
obviously you decided you could, right?
We did. And
how long ago was this?
I quit my job at the end of 2003.
Wow.
So, and then I'm home full time with the kids.
So how's that going for you?
It's fabulous. I'll never give up this job.
You don't have to worry about a boss, and you just get to take care of everything and take care of the kids, and now they're both in school.
They're both starting. Yeah, Murray's in preschool, and Dan's
did that break
preschool.
Dad's heart?
This was hard. The first day they were both gone. It was definitely.
Like, it's too quiet. It's too quiet.
Yeah. Well. It's only half a day, so I don't really get a whole lot of quiet time.
Okay, you get half a day. Well, that allows you to get a lot of stuff done then here, right?
Right.
Well, good. Well, that's great. I mean, I have to tell you folks, and we're going to be putting a picture up so you can see what a wonderful family this is, and they're both beautiful children. And when I first got here, Daniel comes up and says, "Hi, Tom," and it was just really cool. And I wish I could have had that on the recorder, because it was just – he was very welcoming, and we had the meal, and he says, "Don't forget the guests first." He was a very nice kid. He was a beautiful kid, and so he was really welcoming to the house. So he's a little gentleman, and so what is the? I mean, what right after that? So how? Obviously, the family reaction must have been very positive, because obviously you had a big group at the airport. So was that wasn't the first grandchild for your parents, was it?
No, I have. My sister has two children who are, they're now 16 and 18, so,
yeah. So they weren't the first one. So obviously, but they, of course, who doesn't want to have an extra kid to spoil rotten, right?
That's right.
They've done a lot of good things for them, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're very fortunate that both our parents are close by. And, of course, they love to see them anytime they can. But the nice thing is that with them being close, they can really develop a close relationship with their grandparents, and it also gives us time to, you know, have some time, Todd and I, to ourselves now yeah, exactly. and then too. So,
yeah, because so. I know what it is. Because like when my my best friend and his wife, they had the kids, you know, and when they never needed quiet time, you know, or time for themselves, that she had a bunch of brothers and he had a sister, and so they would, you know, watch the kids, or I would even take them sometimes and let them have, you know, the time for themselves. So I know that you got to have that too, you know.
You got to have it. Yeah.
It's very important, because otherwise you're both going, ah! So, but you got to have a couple time, because otherwise, you know, all the extra external factors could really cause a problem, and you need that time together. So it's cool. So, so how are things from then versus now?
What do you mean, when's then and when's now? I know what now is, but when's then?
I mean, right after you got, you know, Mari, and how was it during that time? What other, do you have anything other that you'd like to share? Because I know.
You know, I think that just the same struggles that probably most families go through. I think, you know, one of the things that I think is interesting is that all families really go through probably a lot of the same sorts of issues and deal with. You know, is there enough time in the day, and the running around, whether you're going to daycare or where you need to be or whatever, and handing, you know, kids to, you know, one parent or the other parent because somebody's going to be someplace else. So, I mean, you know, we're just like everybody else. Yeah. I think that's just one of the things that I'm learning, and I wish that more people could see, is that there's more that makes us the same than there is that makes us different.
Right.
And, you know, we just went through the same things that a lot of other, you know, new families go through. A lot of that really smoothed out once I stopped working and we didn't have to juggle the needs of two, you know, professional schedules and the kids and all that. And that was wonderful. But then, school starts and preschool and all the activities, and that brings up, you know, a whole new set of challenges and things that, you know, we have to make decisions about for our family as well.
So I was just wondering, have you had any really positive reactions from, like, when you go to the store or you go to the dinner, or, you know, as people seeing a gay couple with two children, have people made comments or whether it's positive or negative as far as that goes?
You know, the best thing I can say is that I've had neither. We have never had a negative or any sort of public reaction. Mm-hmm. And nor has anyone come up and said, oh, it's so good to see this or that. I think we are treated like everyone else, which I really find surprising. I think that, you know, we're here in the Midwest and we have this perception that the climate is pretty conservative, which, you know, it is. But on the other hand, I think that there's, you know, a civility that people have. And I think that when everyone sort of respects their boundaries, we get along. But I think one of the interesting things is that when you need to interact, for example, school situations and things like that, other parents, you know, once people know you as people, all the issues go away.
Yeah. Well, it's like what they always say, that if you say you didn't know a gay person and then you do meet one and then they're part of your life, then your whole attitude and your perceptions of gay people do change. And, I mean, like, they had an article in an Advocate a while ago about this father who had a gay son, who when his son came out, then he said, you know, don't bring your lifestyle into my house. But then a couple of years later, he was on this reality show that never aired on ABC, where he was one of the people that were in charge of deciding of all the different types of families. And they had like a white couple, and they had a black couple, and then they had a gay couple who had a child, and then they had, you know, all these different groups, and they had to go through this process of determining who was going to get this house. And then the ironic thing was, is that he got to meet this gay couple, got to see them with their child, got to see how they just wanted to have what everybody else does, to have a home and to raise their child in the best positive way that they can. And so it really changed this man's perceptions of gay people. And so what happened was, after you met them, and the ironic thing was that the gay couple ended up being the ones that won. And so it was really cool. And so then what happened was, afterwards, then the father, knowing the couple and seeing them in a different light, that he called the son and basically begged for him for his forgiveness.
Great.
And that he wanted to be part of his life. And it was just an amazing story. And I tried to get him on the show, but unfortunately it didn't happen. But it was just really a wonderful story. And, you know, I'm glad to see that you didn't have any of that negative stuff. And you didn't, you know, and I think it's wonderful that, you know, that, I mean, you treated like every other family, you know. And that's really awesome. Now, one thing I keep forgetting to ask you, but obviously the whole reason why I got to meet with you and Todd and your beautiful children was because of Johnny Simons. And I was just wondering, can you talk a little bit about that and how you two had met?
I actually have, Johnny Simons and our family have never met face to face. We've talked on the phone a few times. Mm-hmm. The reason we were connected was because he was at the time working on his documentary, Daddy and Papa. Mm-hmm. And I have a cousin who was living in Los Angeles, and she knew someone who was associated with Johnny's crew and his production. And so through a conversation, she mentioned that we were adopting. And so Johnny thought that the perspective of a family in the Midwest would be interesting to add to the documentary. So he called us and talked to us about whether we'd be involved in the, you know. And we declined because we just were really uncertain about what the process was going to bring, and actually, and he didn't realize it, but we were in the process at the time, so we didn't know whether it would, you know, just the uncertainties of what was going on at that time. So right. We felt like it wasn't the right thing to do, but it was very interesting to meet. To talk to him and you know, it's the work that he does really is really amazing.
It is.
And
I mean, his work, I mean, if you get a chance to, if you have a local channel, just do a search for Daddy and Papa, or you can buy the DVD from his website, and I have links to that as well on my site with the interview that I did with him, so you can find that there. And he's also done some other wonderful things. I had, I don't know if I told you this, but every Sunday I have home a movie night, and one night I had a CD of a bunch of different gay shorts, and one of them was that Johnny did about this barber shop in San Francisco, and it was just amazing. It was right in the heart of, you know, the gay area, and they have every type of clientele, and it was just amazing. It was very short, but it was very interesting. And then I finally got to see Daddy and Papa, and it was just amazing. And then he did another show just recently, I believe that was on Discovery Health. About, you know, men, gay couples adopting, and it was really amazing too. In fact, I was kind of mad because it was an hour and a half long, but my TiVo had only recorded an hour of it, and I'm like, wait, what happened? You know, because it was about this couple and that he had used a surrogate, and this whole process and all the drama around it, and it was just really amazing. And it was right at a crucial part, you know, when it was cut off, and I didn't get to see the ending until like 2 weeks later, but it was really, really good. And it was called, it was called Men Having Babies is what it was called. And it was very, very good. And he's a very talented guy, and I can't wait for him to finish the military one that he's doing. And that's how I was able to connect with him, because of the Call to Duty people. So those of you who listen to those and enjoyed those, please, I'll let you know when that's available, because it looks really, really good. And so I was just wondering, is there anything else you'd like to add to the story of your life and to our wonderful listeners?
You know, I just want to say that I am really feel blessed to be able to, you know, have the family that we have and the situation that we have. I know that there's a lot of things that are difficult that the gay community is facing right now. That there are more family, there are more couples who would like to have families, and it's really tough. And I really encourage anyone who really wants to pursue that to really you know, don't take no for an answer. Find a way. And I don't, you know, I can't tell you what all the avenues are. And there's, you know, many, many ways that people can make families. But, you know, I'm just, you know, thrilled that it worked for our family, that we're so blessed to have what we have. But, you know, get out there and do it, you know. Don't wait.
Well, that's good. I mean, I, you know, I definitely contend that I've been wanting to do this for a while, and that was one of the reasons why I wanted to meet with you, because I wanted just to hear about the process and what it was like, and obviously you're reaping the benefits of it, so because you have two wonderful kids. So, and see, one of the things that I like to do at the end of my interview, and you kind of sort of answered it already, so you can elaborate on it if you like. But one of the questions I always like to ask my guests is, looking back at your life, and, you know, obviously you've had a lot of wonderful things happen, but I was just wondering, because a lot of people who listen to the show are younger people, younger gay people, and I was just wondering if there's one thing that you could say to them to learn from your life, what would that be? Would that be what you just said, probably?
Yeah, I think it probably would be that. And, you know, I think maybe the thing to think about is, you know, look, try to think about yourself, you know, 20 years down the road. Where do you want to be, and what sort of a life do you want to have? And does that life, you know, mean someone in it that you love and loves you? And if it does, work hard at maintaining that relationship that you have now.
Yeah. That's great. Well, again, unless you have anything else you'd like to add, would you have anything else?
I can't think of anything.
Okay. Well, then what we'll do then is we'll go ahead and end this part. But what I'd like to, again, is thank you so much for being on the program. It's been a tremendous honor, and I think you had a great story to tell, and I hope that people will appreciate it, and I know they will. So would you like to say anything to say goodbye to everybody?
Goodbye, everybody.
Okay, great. And again, I'd like to thank all of you for listening to the program, because it's a tremendous honor to be able to do this again. And I just want to thank all of you for being there through the good and the bad and the wonderful, wonderful guests that I've had on my show. When I say bad, I mean the technical challenges I've had, not the guests, because I've had some ups and downs with that. But I want to thank all of you for listening, and I want to thank you. And please do me a favor, communicate back with me and let me know. Go to my website, rambleredhead.com. Leave a comment about this as well as any of the episodes. You can also leave a message on the MyChingo account. All you have to do is get your microphone out and hit talk to me, and let me know what you think of this show and many others. And then also the other way you can do it is to email me at rambleredhead@gmail.com. And again, I would love to hear from you. If you know of any other people that you think might be great for the show, please get them in touch with me, or let me know and I'll contact them. So again, I appreciate any support that you can give me. And I certainly hope you have a great day, and keep on listening to the Ramble Redhead Show. Oh,